Hey everyone. So we've been in a series where we've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount. And this being an intergen service, we have kids in the room. Kids, if you're in the room, say hi. Hi. And we also have teens. Teens, if you're in the room, say what's up. Okay. Let's do that one more time. Teens, if you're in the room, say what's up.
Thank you.
All right, so we've been in the series, walking through the Sermon on the Mount. And usually, Caleb or somebody else is teaching. This morning, we thought it'd be nice to ask him some questions, put him on the spot. And so, Caleb, good morning. How are you doing?
Yes. I noticed you didn't say if you're a young person, give a shout out.
Would you like me to?
Yeah.
If you're a younger person in the room.
Yeah.
My bad. I will never do that again. I got you. So in the series, Caleb, you've been doing a great job, and all the other pastors have been doing a great job of teaching. I have some questions. You see, I'm a fairly new parent, right? My son turned 13 months last 2 days. And so the passage we're going to take a look at today brings up parents. And so I have a couple of questions. Would you mind if I ask them?
Sure, yeah. Right.
So before I ask these questions, we got to read the passage. Let's take a look at what we're actually looking at today.
Sounds great.
So we're taking a look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. And this is what it says. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Who among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yep.
That makes perfect sense to you?
Yeah, totally.
Well, I got some questions. So what is Jesus doing here? Because as a parent, I feel like he's calling me out. Like, what's going on?
Well, like, what part do you feel?
Well, like, you know, verse, where is it? Can you guys help me? What was that part again? Let's see. Verse 11, where it says, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven?
Okay. So that sounds a little, it sounds kind of weird, maybe for some of us. Okay, so I think probably what's going on here is Jesus is using some humor.
Okay.
So first of all, what does he say? He says, like, if you as a parent, if your kid asks for what? What are the two bits that he says?
Oh, for bread.
So bread, is it like normal for kids to ask their parents for like food to eat? Usually it's not bread. It's usually like frosted cereal, but right.
Yeah.
So bread and what was the other one? Bread and fish.
Yeah.
So these are like normal foods for like kids to eat in Jesus' day. So this is like a very normal thing for the kid to go to the parent and be like, can I have bread? Can I have fish? But then Jesus says, okay, so let's imagine there was a parent and the kid said, can I have bread? And the parent gave them what? A rock, and then it kind of like intensifies, right? Because if a parent gave a kid a rock, they might be like, here you go, and the kid's like, is this a pet? What is this, right? But it's not exceptionally dangerous, right? And then it like levels up into like more ridiculous, where it says, and then if a child asked a parent for a fish, and the parent gave him what?
Snake.
Okay, so that's like dangerous, right? Like if the parent gave the kid like a venomous snake. So it seems to be what Jesus is doing here is what he frequently does in his teaching, which is, and this is kind of a weird word, but it's absurd. Like the idea of a parent whose kid says, can I have a fish? And the parent says, here's a snake. All of us are going like, no parent, that's not what parents do. This is ridiculous. And it's kind of this absurdism or this absurd humor that Jesus is using probably to get our attention, which when you read that, doesn't he have our attention when he says kind of outlandish things like that?
Yeah. You're right.
But there was maybe another bit that you had some
questions.
Yeah,
we jumped because that verse just stood out to me. But in the beginning, he seems to be asking us to imagine going up to a door, knocking on it, seeking.
Yeah, so there's like three things where Jesus is saying, he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you.
Yeah, so what's going on here?
Do you remember when
how do you go from that to?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. Remember, like, when you were a kid and you wanted to find your parents? Maybe you were looking for your mom. Mm-hmm. Maybe you all have had this experience, too, where you're looking for your mom and you can't find her. So what's the first thing you do? Mom! Or mom, 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 right? And that would be biblical. Ask, right? Mom, where are you? Where are you, right? So it's this idea of a child looking for a parent saying, where are you? Mom, mom, dad, dad, where are you? And then if you can't, if they're not responding to the asking, then what happens? You start,
so you scream,
okay. And then let's say that the scream doesn't work. Let's say the screaming doesn't work, there's no response. Then what does the kid usually do?
Start looking. Yeah.
You're looking around, right? You're seeking, you're looking around, and then if maybe there's a door and you can't get in the door, but you think, ooh, I bet mom or dad's on the other side of the door, what do you usually do after you scream and yell? Right? Ask, ignite. So what Jesus is doing here is he's talking about like a very real thing that kids would experience before the asking for the bread and the fish. They go find the parent. And it's probably, like, this is really interesting. So let me ask you a question. Do you think God knows everything?
Yes.
Okay, I probably do too, probably. So when we think about praying, one question that we have is, do we pray so that God goes like, oh, thanks for telling me I was unaware that you needed bread today? Doesn't seem like that's what, so why is Jesus doing this about prayer? Is it about persistence? Like, hey, like if you're not getting what you want from God, just annoy him and maybe he'll do it? I mean, that kind of doesn't speak to the character of God. It seems like what Jesus is saying here is God is like a loving parent, a loving father, who delights or enjoys being with his kids. So a few weeks ago, Terry Wildman spoke, and he's the editor of the First Nations version of the Bible. So it's this transliteration of scripture into English, but through the lens of a First Nations dialect. And one of the things that he'll translate occasionally is he'll translate God as a good godfather, a good grandfather. So like a good grandfather. And we do kind of see this, like with a good grandfather, don't they love to egg on their grandkids? And don't they kind of light up when the grandkid comes in the room, but then sometimes they'll hide and seek? They're not trying to hide because, like, to frustrate the kid. They're trying to hide because they're delighting in the presence. And it seems like what Jesus is hitting on here is when we pray, we're not educating God, but we're being with God because what God wants to do is be with us. He's like a good grandfather who wants to be with us and enjoys the conversation. And it seems like that's what he's getting at with the ask, seek, knock. But then there was another part you mentioned. What was that other part that you were a little frustrated by?
Yeah, or you mean towards the end there? Or?
Well, he talked about like how he's good, but then he says you as parents.
He says we're evil. What's going on there?
Okay, did you guys catch that? So here's this line that Jesus does. So he's saying, he does this frequently. Again, it's kind of that absurd thing or that like hyperbolic thing where he says, look, if you who are evil would never give your kid a snake if they asked for a fish, how much more than God? So the evil bit is not like you guys are like totally corrupt head to toe. What he's saying is by comparison to God, if there was two categories of God and y'all's, and there was totally good and not good, where might I fall? And I think what Jesus is saying here is, like, we are part of a, like, let me just ask you a question.
Go ahead.
In front of all these people. Have you ever done anything selfish?
Yes.
Okay, I won't tell you. Me too. And I think what Jesus is saying here is he knows the condition of the human heart, that even people who are, generally speaking, tempted with selfishness would never give their kid a snake if they asked for a fish, how much more will God give you what you need? You see what he's doing here? So it's kind of like this. It's like, you know how you go trick-or-treating?
Yes.
Like on Halloween. Yeah. You guys are familiar with this experience? So on October 31st, in celebration of Reformation Day, Americans don costumes, and then they go door to door, and they ask. Well, at first they seek.
Yep.
They seek the house with the lights on.
That's right.
And then they knock.
They knock. That's
and
right.
Then they ask.
Yes.
Right? A slightly biblical deviation, but that's okay. And then what happens is the person in the house opens the door, and they say, they say, and then what are they hoping that the person does? Gives them a candy. Now, I want you to know, Enrique, that I have participated in this phenomenon.
Okay.
And I don't mean to brag, but people post on social media about how good my gifts are.
Oh, okay. So
how good my candy is.
So in your neighborhood, you're like the best house. Everyone wants to go to your house.
Did I say just my neighborhood? I said,
oh, dang.
There is a world renownedness to the type of candy that I give that people literally fly in from out of state to come trick or treat.
That's crazy. But yeah. It seems like you're hyping yourself up. I'd love to put it to the test. You guys want to put him to the test?
You want to test it right now?
Let's do it right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see how much of a good.
I mean, this is a facsimile of my front door.
There we go.
This is perfect. Okay,
yes.
Great. All right. So I'll just like move these over here, I think. And maybe we've got like some kids who want to.
Yeah, we have
some trick or treaters. Maybe Miss Amy can help us.
There we go. Miss Amy,
I'll go back.
Help us.
I'm going to go back here.
Let's give it up for Miss Amy, everyone. She has a bucket full of names of kids that we are going to choose and have come up here. Kids, when I say your name, come up and talk to Miss Amy, and she'll give you some basic instructions as to what's going on, okay? Can I get a drum roll, please? Here we go. The first name I got here is Carmelita. Carmelita, if you're in the room, I invite you to come up these steps and go and talk to Miss Amy. Here we go. Second person. Another drum roll, please. Thank you. Evelyn Morgan. Come on up, Evelyn. All right. Here we go. Third person. Another drum roll. Ooh. I'm going to try my best to pronounce this name. Kalisha. Is that correct? Kalisha with an H. There we go. There she is. Give it up for Kalisha one more time. Great job. So that's three. Let's get one more. Let's get two more people. We got Aria. Nice. So that's one, two, three, four. We need two more people. Give it up, everyone, for JC or Jace. Oh, there we go. And last but not least, last big drum roll. Here we go. Our lucky person is Riker. All right. So we got our six participants here. So what's going to happen? I'm going to need your help, okay? So our friends are going to put on costumes, and then we're going to have them ring this doorbell. Just imagine there's a doorbell right here, okay? You're going to press it. The door will ring, and then I think Caleb's gonna give you the best gifts that he can. And church, this is where I need your help. When they receive the gift, I need you to do either two things, one or two things. I need W's, right? So W's. If the gift is good, you give me W's. If the gifts are bad, you give me L's. Okay. And so we need to do this all collectively. Okay. And we'll see how good these gifts are. Yes. So. Aria, you're going first. All right, so I'm going to have you. Oh, Riker, I guess you got just voluntold. So go up, bring the doorbell, and we'll see what happens. Ding dong.
Hello, little boy.
Hi. Trick or treat.
Trick or treat. How about this?
Yay. W's or L's, everybody? We got some W's in the chat. Okay, good. All right, go ahead. Go see Miss Amy. All right. Next person. Ding. There we go.
Hello. Trick or treat, how about homework?
W's or L's in the chat, everybody. Okay, we got some L's, big fat L's. All right, thank you.
That's
go ahead
an
and see Miss Amy.
In your future.
All right, we'll close the door. All right, just ring the doorbell and we'll see what happens, all right?
Hello, person. The mask is talking. Do you want to, all right, trick or treat, that's Chewbacca for trick or treat. How about this?
W's or L's in the chat, everybody. Oh, yeah, some W's. Good, good, good. All right. All right, go ahead.
Hello.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
L's or W's? I see some W's. That's crazy.
That,
all right.
That
all right,
is an investment in your future.
All right, we got two more people. Here we go. All right, go ahead. W's or L's? Oh, yeah, we got a lot of W's. That's
enjoy.
Good. All right. All right, let's go. All right, last but not least, last person. Here we go. Let's see what you're going to get. A W or L's. Yeah, that one's iffy. That one's iffy.
There you go. That was worth $20 in 2020.
I think that was a big L, Caleb. All right, let's give it up for our amazing participants. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right, that was kind of goofy and silly. But, Caleb, how well do you think you did? Just.
You mean like how well do I think I did or how well do I think they think I did?
Well, let's ask them first. You're right. Okay, all right, so how well did Caleb did? Is that good or bad? Or in between? We don't know. I think everyone's kind of like, what just happened?
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
You really
hyped
yourself
up there.
Every one
of those gifts was a blessing. Okay? Toilet paper was worth $20 a roll 5 years ago, okay?
You're right.
I've been... Okay, so in the same way that we would look at like a trick-or-treater and we'd go trick-or-treat, and if they gave us a candy, we would be like, of course that's what they gave us because it's a good house to go trick-or-treat. But if we go to a trick-or-treat, if we go to the house and they give us broccoli, everyone, how did you feel when the broccoli came out? You like broccoli? It wasn't even cooked, right? Right, we see that and we're like, that's late. Like, we think that's absurd. That of course that wouldn't happen. In the same way, Jesus is kind of doing this thing where he's saying, hey, look, if you go to a parent and ask for bread, they're going to give you bread. And you ask for fish, they're going to give you fish. In the same way, and if they, who are imperfect, yeah. Right, parents are imperfect, if they would do that, if they would always give you what is for your good, how much more then will God give to you what's good?
That's good. All right, so I don't feel as bad anymore. I think I understand. The focus seems to be on the character of God rather than me.
Yeah, the focus, I think, is on two things. One, it's not on the evil or the corruption of the parent. The focus is on the goodness of God.
Amen. Yeah.
And then second, the invitation is, and he wants to be with you.
Yeah.
And so praying is a way for us to like be with God in the same way that like a good grandfather loves being with his grandkids. It's kind of that kind of vibe.
That's good. And then the last verse here says, therefore, don't worry. Oh, that's not it. Here we go. Therefore, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Yeah.
What's this bit about?
So it's kind of interesting how Jesus ends this part, right? Mm-hmm. So remember how it starts? He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be open. Yep. It's this idea of our relationship between God when we pray. But then he ends with our relationship with whom?
With each other.
So he's kind of talking like, hey, look, when you're praying, just remember, like if you ask, you can knock, like God will give you the good that you need. He has only your good in store. He wants to be with you through prayer. But then he lands the plane. He ends with what? Whatever you want others to do for you.
Do unto them.
Do unto others, right? Have you guys ever heard that before? It's called the silver rule or the... platinum rule. What? Oh, it's the golden rule. That's right. Thank you for the correction. Yeah, it's like the golden rule. And it's interesting because he's talking about our life this way, our prayer this way. And then he ends with, and therefore, live in a certain way this way. And I think that what Jesus is doing here is really, really wise. Do you know one of the reasons why we often don't treat others the way that we want to be treated? It's because we think there's not going to be enough. Sometimes when we see someone in need, we decide in our own hearts, like, oh, I'm not going to give. I can't give because there's not going to be, I'm not going to get taken care of. Sometimes we say things to ourselves like, I can't take care of them because if I don't take, like, because no one's going to take care of me. And what Jesus is saying here is, yes, you should love yourself and recognize that part of that is staying connected with God who loves you more than you could ever imagine. So what I think Jesus is doing here is saying, look, God loves you so much that he will make sure that your needs are met. Like a good parent, he's going to give you the bread and the fish. And in light of that, because God's going to do that, you can then love others as you want to be loved, or you can treat others the way you want to be treated. So he's talking about how generosity is a response to God's generosity towards us. And so he's using this humor. And the other thing, too, I would just notice here, Does everything that a kid asks their parent for, is every one of those things ultimately a good thing? Does the kid think, kids, don't you think it's a good thing? Like, can I drink 473 ounces of Monster Energy before bed? Right? When that request is made, from the child's perspective, it's like, this is a great idea. But a parent may, in their wisdom and love for the child, may say no. Is this fair? Does this happen? So it's not like what Jesus is not saying here. Jesus is not saying, look, ask God for anything and he's going to give it to you. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying here is what you need for your good as defined not by you, but by God, God's going to take care of that. And so there may be seasons where we're asking for something and it's not given to us, which is frustrating, right? When you got 473 ounces of Monster before bed and you get told no, isn't that frustrating? Amen? Look, kids, if you've ever made that request and been told no, just know that your parents have also made tons of requests and been told no to. Have not all of us asked something of God and it's not come about the way that we wanted? And I think one of the things that Jesus is saying here is, it didn't come about the way that you wanted, not because you failed to ask enough, or not because you failed to say the magic words, or have enough faith. It's because God is giving you what is ultimately for your good, even if you can't see it at the time. And I think that that's what he's doing. This is really a robust thing. So when we recognize that God is generous to us, then we can recognize that we can be generous to others. There's a story here at Desert Springs. So there's a young woman who we gave like $100 to.
Whoa.
Yeah. And she, and we had said, hey, like, take this $100. And if you get the $100, like, bless somebody with it. Right? So they had $100, which was a lot of money. And she wrote this letter, and this is what she said. So thank you, Desert Springs, for the $100 to bless someone. I decided to use the money for my art camp. So she was holding an art camp that was 2 weeks, one in June and one in July. And over the course of those weeks, she hosted 20 other kids and wanted to use the money. She says, I wanted to use the money y'all gave me to offer free registration for the camp. And so my mom and I reached out to Miss Amy and Miss Melinda to see if there was a child at our church that would benefit from attending. And so Melinda introduced us to a young boy and his grandmother. And the young boy was able to attend the camp in June, and he was such a blessing to our group. TV time out. I just want you to notice, she received a gift. What did she do with the gift? Used it to bless someone else. By blessing that person, so gave that person attendance to the camp. The child that was able to attend the camp, notice what she said, that their attendance at the camp did what for all the other kids? It was a blessing. Do you see how the blessings of God always multiplies when it's put into practice? Yeah. Okay, the boy was able to attend the camp in June, such a blessing to the group. He brought joy and laughter to everyone who attended. I felt that he engaged and made friends, which gave him the chance to feel included. And several of the other kids got a chance to feel what it was like to be welcomed by a church community. It felt amazing to be able to bless people and watch their happiness that came over their faces. Thank you for this opportunity to bless everyone who attended the art camp. And that's one way, recognizing what we've been blessed, here's this $100, and then when I put that into activity, when I love my neighbor as myself, you get to see God at work in much more powerful ways. Yeah, and I think that's what Jesus is getting here when he says, all of the law and prophets, which is another way to say of like the whole Bible, can be summed up in this, love your neighbor as yourself.
That's awesome. Can I get some W's in the chat, everybody? Great job. I love that story. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah. And so maybe that's just a good spot for us to conclude our time together on, is recognizing that God wants us to talk to him through prayer about what we need and to ask and seek and knock. Recognizing that he doesn't need to know, like he doesn't need us to tell him so you know, but he wants to engage with us. And as we engage with him, as we talk to him through prayer, we change in the process too. And actually sometimes our perspective changes when we pray. And that God is always going to give us what is good for us in his mind, and that gives us the strength to be able to love our neighbor as ourself. So would you join me as we pray together as we conclude our time? So Lord God, as we think through how it is that you have loved us and provided for us and given to us the good that we need. May we be a people who love our neighbor as ourselves, recognizing that you are not only true and powerful, but loving and gracious and kind. And as we think about how others might want to be treated by us, would you give to us wisdom and compassion as we seek to love as you have loved us? It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit that we pray. Amen and amen.